Shalom to all. Today's office is Yerushalayim Pesachim Daf Lamed Gimel. We are starting right at the top of the Amud with Halacha Ches and Vilnitzer's Daf and Chav Tes Amud Aleph right at the top of the Amud. And today's office sponsor Lila Nishmas Mars Mem Sarabas Yaakov Moshe Her Nishama should have an Aliyah. And we'll get to discussing Malachas that are permitted or Aser Erev Yom Tov on Yud Dalid right before Pesach. The Mishnah says Moshevin Shevachim Tarnagoyim Bar Basar on the 14th Erev Pesach. One is allowed to place hens in the coop. He's allowed to place them on the egg itself. That's considered too much of a Malacha, but he's allowed to place them in the coop so that they go and sit on the eggs. More about this, Tarnagoyos Shabarcha, a hen which ran away, it decided too much. I don't want to sit on these eggs anymore. I'm bored. I want to go do something else. Machzir Nasalim Kaima, he could bring it back to its place. And in the Gemara, it's going to be clear that this is referring to even on Chol Hamoed itself, he's allowed to do this. V'mesa, if the hen had died, Mashivan Acheres Tachteha, he could put another one in its place. This is going back to Yodalid, Erev Pesach. Also, Garfim Mitachas Raglei Behema Bar Basar, on the 14th on Erev Pesach, he could shovel away all the dirt and the refuse and all the dung that's around the legs of the animal in its stall. He could push it to the side. That's because it's not good for the animal. It's actually somewhat dangerous for it if there's too much dung and refuse and dirt in the stall. Also, one can bring kalim to and from the house of the craftsman, even though they're not necessary for Yom Tov itself. One's still allowed to do this. Clarification, on Chol Hamoed itself, it's Asur, because it's considered too much of a Malacha. Another din, Ein Marbinus Abahinu Mahid, no breeding animals on Chol Hamoed, Afal Melichan Oysalv Kairas, but he could bring it to the Bekairas, which is basically the area where there are other animals, and then if they mate on their own, that's up to them, it's not him doing it. Now Rabbi Yehuda says, Chamayr Shi Toiva Zachar, if a female donkey is being Toivea a male, she's ready for the male, so then Marbin Oysa, he's allowed to breed them together actively, Shaloi Titzon, so that it doesn't cool down. Specifically with a female donkey, if she's in heat and then she cools down, so it can actually be dangerous for her, and therefore he's allowed to help breed them, whereas there's shall call behema, all other animals, Melichan Oysa Bekairas, the only thing he's allowed to do is bring it to the area where the other animals are, but he's not allowed to breed them. Another din, Mekizan Dam La'adam Ula Behema Bamaid, he's allowed to do bloodletting for both a person and an animal on Chol Hamoed, Ve'ain Mayin Refuah Me'adam Behema Maid, also no withholding any sort of refuah, any sort of thing that's going to help heal a person or an animal on Chol Hamoed. Back to the Mishnah, Tarnagos Shabarcha Machzir Nasalam Kaima, if the hen ran away, he's allowed to put it back in its place. Clarification of this is Ve'ain Shech Zerua Shlosh Yomim Limerida, that's the proper gear saw. It has to be that he's putting it back on the egg within 3 days of its rebellion. It rebelled. It made a stink. It's walking around clucking. I'm not sitting on this egg. He has within 3 days to put it back on the egg. That's in order to prevent the egg from getting ruined. If it's been more than 3 days, then he's not allowed to put it back on the egg on Chol Hamoed, because anyway, the egg is ruined and it's not going to hatch into a baby chick. So he's not allowed to do it. That would be a situation that he's not allowed to return to the egg on Chol Hamoed. Continuing, the Mishnah had said, V'im Mesa, if the hen died, he could put a new hen in its place. Says the Gemara, it has to be that the hen was sitting on the egg for 3 days, which means with 3 24-hour periods in a row. Only then he's allowed to take a new hen to replace the dead one. That's because, similar to what we had just mentioned, that if the hen had gotten off the egg for 3 days, so it's going to be ruined, there's nothing you could do about it. That's the same thing in regards to the beginning of the egg's incubation. If the hen has to first sit on it for 3 days, and only then it's considered like the process of the egg hatching has already started, and it's in that situation that if the hen died, you could put a new one there. But if it wasn't sitting on it for 3 days and the hen died, you're not allowed to put a new one on. Now, Ramana says, Masisa Amar Kain, we actually learned this from our Mishnah, because as we had said in the beginning of our Mishnah, that you're only allowed to put the hen in the coop on the 14th on Erev Pesach, but you're not allowed to physically put the hen on the egg on the 14th, which means the earliest time you could have done that is the 13th, and that's where Ramana continues saying, Shloisha Asar Abasar Chamisha Asar, the Mishnah is telling us that you put the hen on the egg on the 13th, and then it was on the 14th, and then the 15th, and Mitzvah Yom Kekulai, part of the day is considered like the whole day, as we see for our Mishnah, that the hen has to be on the egg for 3 days in order for you to be able to replace it if it dies. However, Amar Ravavin says, that's not a Raya Tiftir, we can explain that what's the Mishnah saying, Shiashva Meileha, that the hen sat there on its own, Bless Shmamina Klum, and you'll learn anything from here. Now going on to the last end of the Mishnah, which was cleaning out the animal's stall from all the zevel and all the dung and everything that was in it. So here we have a number of other memories. Zevel Sheva Mavoy, Misalka Letzad, and there's fertilizer or dung in a Mavoy in the alleyway, so you could just push it to the side, or Sheva Refetz, Sheva Chatzar. If it's in the barn or in the courtyard, Metziyah La'ashba, you could pick it up and take it out to the garbage. And Omar Avah, he explains, Hadada Tamar, this is said, B'chatzar Ketana, only if it's in a small Chatzar, B'chatzar Gedayla, if it's a large Chatzar, Misalka Letzad, then you have to push it to the side. And Harefetz, when we're dealing dealing with the barn, whether it's large or small, he could bring it out to the garbage. And why is that? Amar Rav explains, because the smell is very powerful and it's actually no good for the animal if there's a very strong smell of dung and fertilizer there. That's why he's actually allowed to pick it up and move it out due to the fact that it's detrimental for the animal. Moving on to halacha test, here we're going to have a number of things from the people of Yericha that are connected to Erev Pesach and a few things that aren't, but obviously the reason why we're bringing this is because they have to do with Erev Pesach. So the Mishnah tells us, Shisha Dvarim Asu Anshei Yerichai, the people of Yericha did six things. Al Shloshim Michu Biyadam, Al Shloshim Lo Michu Biyadam. There are three things that the Chum protested against, and there are three things that they did not protest. Elu Shloshim Michu Biyadam, these are the three things that the Chum did not protest against. Markivin Dikolim Kol Yom, Erev Pesach, they would graft palm trees all day. The reason why they would do this is because if you have two good trees, let's say one of them produces strong, robust fruits, and the other one produces very tasty fruits, you're going to want to graft them together, so now you have strong, robust, and tasty fruits. And again, there's a very specific time that this grafting has to be done, and if you missed it, you missed it, you're not going to be able to do it anymore. Therefore, Erev Pesach, if it was the tree's time to be grafted, they would do that, even though really you're not supposed to be doing Malacha Erev Pesach, as we already know. Also, V'karchen es Shema, they would be Koyrech Shema, which literally translated means wrapping Shema. We're explaining the Gemara what this is. And Lama Gimel Beis on top, V'kaitzrin V'gaitzin L'fnei Omer, they would harvest and pile before the Karban Omer was brought. We know that the Karban Omer was brought on the second day of Pesach, and beforehand, no grain is allowed to be eaten. Now, grain is technically allowed to be cut, but it's not allowed to be piled up because there's a fear the person is going to end up eating it before the Omer is brought, and they used to do both. They would harvest the grain, and they would pile it up, and in all these situations, Lo Michu B'yadon, the Chacham did not protest this. Now, Elu Shemichu B'yadon, the following things they did, the Chachamim were Maicha against, Matirin B'gamzei Shel Hekdesh, they permitted using branches of Hekdesh trees. They had these trees that were Hekdesh, and they would cut branches off and use those branches for their own personal needs. V'oichim Tachas HaNasharim B'Shabbos, also they would sit underneath palm trees on Shabbos and eat the Nasharim, eat the dates that had fallen off, and also V'noisim Pei L'Yerek, they would leave Peah for field of vegetables, and the Chacham protested against this. We're going to see in the Gemara why the Chacham protested against the first two things. The last one regarding Peah is because we know that a field is only chayav in Peah if it's grain. So let's say you have a wheat field, when you're harvesting it, you have to leave the corner for the Aniyim. And we know that when the Aniyim take Peah, it's potter from Meiser. Now these people used to leave Peah in their field of vegetables, for their cucumbers and peppers and tomatoes and whatnot. The Aniyim were coming, taking this Peah, thinking that it's potter from Meiser, and that's called being mafkia it midei Meiser. Now Meiser is not being separated, and that's an issue. And again, in all these three things, the Chum did protest. So the Gemara begins by talking about the first part of the Mishnah, and it's coming based off of a Braisa, where we have Machloikis Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, what the Chum's approach was to the first part of the Mishnah. According to Rav Meir, it's not that the Chumim didn't protest, it's actually that the Chumim were 100% okay with what was being done. They gave their approval, they gave their thumbs up. Great job, people of Yerichai. Whereas according to Rav Yehuda, it's like our Girsa, where the Chumim were not happy, they just didn't protest. They didn't give their thumbs up, they just didn't say anything. And so we start by focusing on the third case, which is harvesting and piling the grain before the Omer. So the Gemara tells us, Mantana Kaitrin, who's the man to Omer of the word Kaitrin? Rav Meir, that's Rav Meir, meaning that would be Rav Meir's Girsa in our Mishnah, that L'chatchila you're allowed to cut the grain, and Mantana Gaitchin, who's the town of the word Gaitchin, that they piled the grain, Rav Yehuda, that's Rav Yehuda, who holds that L'chatchila you're not allowed to do that, they just didn't say anything. And Omer of Yaakov, Rav Susai, Kumi Rav Yaisi, he clarifies even further that actually, Kol Ama Moidai She Kaitrin, everyone agrees that L'chatchila you're allowed to cut grain before the Omer, but Kol Ama Moidai She Ain Gaitchin, everyone agrees that L'chatchila you are not allowed to pile that grain, and the only thing they were pointing out in the Mishnah is that if we would be Gaitchin like Rav Meir, then we would only have the word V'kaitrim, and if we'd be going like Rav Yehuda, then we would only have the word V'gaitchim. And again, that would fit into their respective shitas. They also argue in regards to grafting these palm trees. Rav Meir says, Markivim dekalm kol yom ucharatzen chacham hayuaisim, that they would graft these palm trees all day, and that was beratzen chachamim. The chacham were perfectly okay with that. They gave their approval. Whereas Rav Yehuda says, lo hayuaisim kratzen chachamim, this was not with approval of chachamim, but again, as we said, the chacham just didn't protest. And the other case was karchen es shema. So the question is, ketzer hay karchen es shema, what does this mean that they were kairech shema? They would wrap shema up. So we have two different opinions. Amar Rav Acha, Amar Rav Zeura, Amar Rav La. Shema Yisrael Hashem L'kiru Hashem Echad. El Shaloi Hoi Mafsikin Bein Teva L'Teva. It's just that they wouldn't make a break in between each word. They didn't say Shema Yisrael, pause. Hashem L'kenu, pause. Hashem Echad. They would read it all together. Shema Yisrael Hashem L'kenu Hashem Echad. And when you read it like that, it could technically have a different understanding. For example, if you read it as Shema Yisrael Hashem, it could sound like they were addressing Hashem. Hashem, listen to the Yidden. And obviously that's not the proper understanding. So that's what they used to do. They would just read the whole Shema without pausing in between the words. That's what Rav Meir says. Whereas Rav Yehuda tells us, Mafsikin hayu, they wouldn't make a break in between the words. They wouldn't say, Baruch Shem after saying Shema Yisrael. Rav Yaisa, Rav Zeura, quoting Rav La, tells us the previous member was Rav Acha, quoting Rav Zeura b'shem Rav La. Now this Rav Yaisa, quoting Rav Zeura b'shem Rav La. Then what do they say? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Ela Shaloihem Afsikin Bein Echad LeBaruch. They just wouldn't make a break in between the last word Echad and the first word of Baruch Shem, Baruch. The Rav Meir, that's Rav Meir's opinion. Whereas Rav Yudan, Rav Yudan says Mafsikin Hayu. They would have a little bit of a pause. Ela Shaloihem Ayim Baruch Shem Kamechus Eilam Vaed. They wouldn't say Baruch Shem and they moved right on to Ve'alhafta. Now moving on to the next part of the Mishnah of the three things that they did that the Chachamim did protest. And the first thing was Mitirim Begamzias Shal Hekdesh, that they permitted these branches that were cut off of Hekdesh trees. And the Gemara asked, Ketzad Hayu Mitirim Begamzias Shal Hekdesh? How would they allow this? How is that possible? How would they allow themselves to cut branches off and use them for own personal needs? And in clarifying this, we actually got into a conversation that the Chachamim had with them. Amru Lahan Chachamim, the Chachamim told the people of Yerichai, Einatem Moedim Lanu, don't you agree to us, Begidulei Hekdesh Ein Asurin, that when something grows from something that's Hekdesh, it's Asur? So Amru Lahan, the people of Yerichai respond to the Chachamim, Avisenu, our forefathers, our ancestors, Kashigdishu, when they were Makdish these trees, like Gdishu Elokairis, they were only Makdish the beams that grew from the trunk, because the strong-armed people who used to come and forcibly take them, and they had no other way of stopping these mafiosos from taking the trees other than being Makdish them. But in truth, the only part of the tree that they were Makdish was the trunk that prevented these strong-armed fellows from cutting them down, but they never were Makdish the branches, and therefore the branches aren't Hekdish. So now the question is as follows. My Rabbanan Sovereign Meymar, what do their Rabbanan hold? Why do they asa the branches? Is it because Kairosu Perisigdishu, they hold that when you're Makdish the trunk of the tree, automatically any beams and fruit that goes from it is also Hekdish, and that's why they're telling the people of Yerichai that this is not okay, that even if you want to say that they were Makdish the trunk, still that's considered an automatic Hekdish on the branches and on the fruit? Or Afilu Tamar Kairosigdishu, appears like Dishu, even if you want to say that no, that the beams are Hekdish and that which grows from it is not Hekdish, still Tzrichel Rabbanin, Hamakdish Slei Elon, Maushi Shire Loimen Agdulin, the question that Rabbanin had is that if a person is Makdish, a field of trees, is he able to halachically keep the Gidulin, the future growth that's going to come from it, for himself? Meaning, even though he expresses, I'm being Makdish the field, the trees, but I'm not being Makdish all the produce that's going to grow from it. Do we say that maybe Midarais that's not Hekdish, but Midrabanan it still is, or no? I'm going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow, continue to discuss this. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.